Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. This is beautiful. Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. Father, we are open to you this morning. Speak to us once again, in Jesus' name. If I were you, I would try and create an expectation in my heart, even as we go through together. We're going to take a journey, and I will need your attention at every point. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to lose me. So please stick with me. It's going to be a very good journey. Might be brief, shorter than you expected, but we will get to the end. Praise God. All right. Easter. The demonstration of love. It's easy, yeah? It's simple. I think it speaks for itself. Chris has given us some explanation earlier about what it means, what Jesus did. We all know all of this. We grew up hearing these things. We've even spoken about these things at some point. But we need to understand God's intent. We need to understand where man fell and the necessity of redemption. Is that a journey you want to embark on with me? Yeah. Let's go on. Let's crack on. Next slide, please. Now, man's original design. Man is a vessel designed to contain God. God made every man, and by man, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, male and female. So before you think I'm just talking about the men, I'm talking about women. So, man is a vessel that was designed to contain God. God, who made the heavens and the earth big enough to live in heaven, to make the earth his footstool, according to the scriptures, but small enough to stay inside of man. That was the original design. God made sure that he, as big as he is, he could still stay inside of man. So if you're confident this morning, can you say it to yourself? God is in me. I have God. I carry God inside of me. The creator of the universe. The one who made the mountains. When you go skydiving, all those things you see, the maker is inside of you. The one who made the Red Sea is inside of you. And also, man was designed to reflect God. When you stand in front of a mirror, what do you see? You see a picture of yourself, an image of yourself. So man was designed originally to be able to contain God enough that he can show God. You don't get what I'm saying. You were designed. I was designed to be able to host God enough on my inside that he becomes too full, that I can't keep him inside of me anymore. And then I begin to reflect him. That was the original design. You want to know how I know? I'll show you. Before you think I'm a motivational speaker, there's nothing wrong with that. Also, man was designed as a living representation of God. So if you've ever thought less of yourself, you should think twice. You're bigger than you think. You're much more than your eyes can see in the mirror. Don't let anybody lie to you. You are big. I'm not motivating you. I'm telling you the truth. Take it from me today. You were designed as a living we like to call it representation. But we call those words, because of where I have come from, I take words very seriously. I don't joke with words. So if you tell me a vocabulary or an English word, I take my time, I learn the meaning, I digest it, it enters into the fiber of my soul, and I understand it before I use it. So we're quick to say representation. No, it's a representation. You are a representation of God. It means that God can stand this way, and you can stand because God says you can. He's made you that way. Okay. Next slide, please. Let's open our Bibles before someone's going to say I'm motivating you now. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. I want to rush through this. Read. Everybody, I want to hear your voice. Read. 1, 2, go. And God said, and let them have. Pardon? Verse 27. Let's go. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let's stop there. Higher. And God said, let us make man in our image. The Old Testament was mostly written in Hebrew. The New Testament was mostly written in Greek. I had to go back and get the root meaning. I told you, I love words. Hebrew meaning for image, it's selim. It also means idol. Now listen, for those who worship idols, what you're actually doing, so you can stop today. What you're doing is an image has been made, but that image is not existing by itself. It's standing as a representation of a demon. So when people go worship idols, because nobody here worships idols, when people go worship idols, what they do is leaving their original self as the image of God and bowing to a lower image, giving themselves to a lower image. They are reducing who God made them to be. So that's why God hates idol worship anyway. And likeness means, in Hebrew word, is the mute. So simply said, God made man to be a resemblance of himself. And a what? A representation of himself. It is there. Let us make man in our image. Now, according to God's original intent, if he succeeded in making man after in his image and after his likeness, the expectation is dominion. That's it. That was the original intent. You want to know how I know? Let's continue. Next slide, please. I don't want to waste time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. We're going to read together. I'm trying to help somebody who might not end up reading their Bible for the rest of the week. You can read now. Let's read together, please. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm going to use just that verse. God sat down, formed man using the dust. He made the image, and when he was done making the image, he could have spoken to the image. He could have spoken to what he made. When he was making the sun, he spoke. When he was making other most things, he spoke. But when he wanted to make man, he bent down. Higher. He bent down, used the dust of the ground, formed it, and instead of speaking into that thing that he formed, he breathed into man. Have you ever done mouth-to-mouth respiration before? You are giving of your essence into that being. So what God did was, after forming the image, he looked at him and breathed his own essence into that man. That was the only time man could become a living soul. So the essence you carry inside of you is not ordinary. It's from God. That was the original design. You see how beautiful it is? How lofty it is? Do you know that with how beautiful and how lofty it is? Next slide. Man fell. We lost it. We lost it to the lies of the devil. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23. And we've come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Is that what is there? Beautiful. So we lost it. We lost our place. We lost our dominion. We lost our position. We lost the authority. Man lost it. And you're thinking, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. Is that not what you're thinking? I wasn't there. I don't know anything about it. I'm innocent. But you're not. I'm sorry to say you're not. All have sinned. The Bible didn't exempt anyone. All. You and myself inclusive. I just have this mic because I have something to preach. Myself inclusive. We all fell. We missed it. But that's not all. Thanks to Jesus. God had to do something because God could not afford that his investment. Did I just open your eyes? Some people do not know that they are the investment of God. Maybe that's why some can afford to live recklessly. You are God's investment. You are. You are. So, what was God's response? Next slide, please. Jesus was born. Jesus lived. Jesus was born. For this cause was the Son of Man made manifest. I'm quoting a scripture. That he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus was born. Jesus lived. Jesus died. And Jesus resurrected. I don't have business with the resurrection today. My business is with the fact that Jesus died. So let's look at the dimensions of the death of Jesus. There are three dimensions to the death of Jesus. We have the theological dimension, the historical dimension, and the essential dimension, which is the essence, the output, or the offshoot of the death of Jesus. But theologically, what does that mean? It talks about the legal work of redemption. Spirits don't forgive. Spirits don't have capacity to forgive. If a spirit tells you, I've forgiven you, it's because someone else had paid the price. They take penance. You must pay back what you've done. So God didn't have capacity to just let it go. He had to create something. It's called divine justice. So, and we have the historical dimension, which shows us the proof that it actually happened. To tell us that what we're talking about is not fallacy, it's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. It actually happened. I'll give you one proof today. Essential to finish the work of Christ. It tells us of the outshoots, the products we get from the death of Jesus. So next slide, theological now, the legalities of the death of Jesus. Slide one. Thank you, you're in the spirit. So I have about five, but we'll just look at two, so because of time. So A, the Passover lamb, intelligence of substitution. So if you remember the story of the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, and they had plagues, God had to use plagues on the Egyptians so that they can let them go, let my people go. You remember the story?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into details. So, now there was an instruction by God. I'm going to read. You just watch. The animals you choose. Now, this was God's instruction to the Israelites. Must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Listen, instructions. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. 7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. For some that don't know the background of the story, that's the background. We just say, oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was what happened. A plague was ravaging Egypt at the command of God because he wanted his people to leave. And Pharaoh was not ready to allow the children of Israel to leave. So what happened? So God gave them that instruction. He told them to do that. And he told them, when you kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on the frames and put it on the doorpost. So that when the angel of death passes, striking the firstborn. If you remember, it was the firstborn of the Egyptians that was being killed. Striking the firstborn of the Egyptians, when the angel of death gets to the doorpost, he will see the blood there. So to the angel of death, oh, the firstborn here is dead. I move on. Substitution. I'll go over it again. The angel of death was instructed to kill all the firstborn throughout Egypt. And he would get to an Egyptian house, kill the firstborn, and then get to the next house, occupied by an Israelite, but he sees the blood there on the frame, and in his mind, oh, the firstborn here is dead. He moves over. But the firstborn of the Israelites were still alive. So if you ask the angel of death today, what he would tell you is that all the firstborn in Egypt died. Because according to him, I saw blood, so they were all dead. That was the intelligence of substitution. That's the typology of the death of Jesus. It's littered all across the Old Testament. Next, the bronze serpent healing through, being lifted up. If you remember the story of the Israelites when they left Egypt and they were going, when they began to murmur against God and Moses, God sent serpents, snakes, into their midst. And then snakes started biting them, and they cried to Moses and they cried to God. And God instructed Moses to say, see, make a pole and erect a bronze serpent. He was teaching them, he was trying to show them that something will come later that's going to be hung on a tree and it's going to die. But I don't want to prevent myself. In the case of death, in place of death, you would have life. That was what he was telling them. So he told Moses to hang a snake on the tree. So for everyone that was beaten, all you had to do was raise your head, look at the bronze serpent, and you would live. That was the instruction. That's where we get look and live. Just look and live. That was the instruction. And they did it. And as many, the Bible records that as many as looked, they lived. Typology of the death of Jesus. Next, suffering servant. Next slide, please. Substitutionary suffering. I don't have time to go into the details of that. For those that want it, I don't know if the church can make that available. But smitten rock, life released. You remember the smitten rock when God instructed Moses to speak to the rock. The children of Israel needed water. And he told Moses, speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock, I'll provide water for my people. But when Moses got there, what did he do? What did he do? He struck the rock. He struck the rock. And God was angry with Moses because of that. So, but water came out. Life released. Now, scapegoat. I've gone to the next slide now, if you're with me. Thank you. Scapegoat, sin carried away. So this was an instruction of God to Aaron. I'm just giving you the typology so you can understand that what eventually happened wasn't a mistake. The enjoyment we have today didn't happen by chance. It was planned. So Moses, God instructed Aaron to get a goat and put both his hands on it, confess the sins of the old Israelites, and then send the goat through someone that is trusted into the wilderness. We all know what was going to happen to the goat in the wilderness anyway. It wouldn't survive. It would be killed. It was just a typology of the death of Jesus, that he would carry the sins of the world and die. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. The historical, thank you. Proof that what the Bible communicated is not a fairy tale. This is where it gets interesting. Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. I'm going to read. Follow me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Stay with me. Which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So what did I tell you? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Excuse me. Don't go to the next slide. Hold on. Now, historically, the death of Jesus was in two ways, was in two stages. Now, while I was going through all of this and preparing, I stumbled upon a journal by the American Medical Association. They did a study on the physical death of Jesus. They studied literature, they studied proof, and they saw that truly Jesus died. These were not primarily Christians. They are scholars. Scholars, you know, scholars don't deal, they don't deal with spirits. They deal with books and proof. They don't care about how many journals you've written. They want proof. And they saw proof that Jesus died, that Jesus went through what he went through, and he died. So the death of Jesus was on two forms, the scourging and the crucifixion. Scourging and the crucifixion. Now, we know most of these things I'm talking about. I'm just trying to refresh our memory. Yeah, and probably by the inspiration of God anyway, so we can get some new things. Now, what do they do in scourging? I was going to say an individual, but I'm just going to narrow it down straight. Jesus, your Savior, my Savior, was stripped naked. Now, before this happened, he had gone through six trials, three Jewish trials, three Roman trials. And they were taking him back and forth, and he was made to walk. No transportation was provided. He didn't have a Toyota. He was not given a Toyota. So these days when we arrest offenders, we put them in a car and we take them to the place. He was made to trek back and forth with the soldiers mocking him in the process, you understand? They did that. Now, he went through those trials. The Jewish were shouting that he should, the Jews were shouting that he should die. They should crucify him. The Romans found him most innocent because they couldn't fathom. The only problem they had was that he said he was the king of the Jews. They didn't appoint him. They felt he was a self-appointed king. But he went through all of that. I don't want to bore you with that part. There's a part I want to focus on. So the scourging process. Please, next slide. This is the scourging process. I'm going to explain it to you. Jesus was stripped naked. You probably saw a movie by Mel Gibson and they told you he had something on his waist. No, he was naked. His clothes was taken off. Nothing covering downside. He was laid there. Now, what do they do? You can see that fat tree. The fat tree is placed there and his hand was tied to that tree that way. You can see his knees were not touching the floor. He was hung there. That was not all. Now, that flagrum was the whip that was used to flog in whipping. It was made of leather. It had metal balls, staves, metals. See? And it had sharp, small sheep bones placed at the edge. So this is the process. The Jews flogged 39. The Romans don't flog 39. They flog till they are tired. And it was the Romans that flogged Jesus. So they tied him that way, and they were using that to flog him, to whip him. And for every whip, the metals, the sharp sheep bones would lacerate the skin. And as they pull it out, it would pull the skin, leaving exposed muscles. And they did that continuously till they were tired. What you are enjoying today, that was the beginning of the suffering anyway. So when you come to say, oh, Jesus suffered and died, it's not civilized. That death was not civilized. Don't civilize the death of Jesus. It was not civilized. This was crude. And that's how he died. I don't have time. Next slide, please. Because the old cross was too heavy, they made him carry the bar. I've forgotten the name right now. And they made him walk, back bleeding. Someone that was, the person flogging, would not have recourse to maybe the back legs and say, oh, let me just hit the back and leave the bum and the legs or something alone. They could hit anywhere they were allowed to. And they did it. And he was still made to carry cross and walk. And as he was walking, do you know what he was thinking about? He was thinking about Emmanuel. He was thinking about me. He was thinking about you. He could have given up. He could have stopped. Next slide, please. His feet was placed on top of the other, and a nail long enough was driven. Has a pain ever pricked you? How pleasant was that? But this was not a nail. This was not a pain. This was a nail driven through. That's the lateral section. That was what brought you the salvation that you're enjoying today, that I'm enjoying. We need to take heed. I'm not doing this. It wasn't your fault. You didn't ask for it, but he did it anyway. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah. Next slide, please. His wrists were nailed to this way. And go to the next slide. I don't want to waste time. Thank you. And that was how he hung. Do you know the problem with this kind of death? Breathing. The entire circulatory system has been compromised. His diaphragm was compromised. So he was hanging just by the nails on the wrist. And his feet were nailed there. And if he needed to breathe, he had to pull himself up. And he was on that cross for 6 hours. Jesus died for me. He was on that cross for 6 hours. And as if that was enough to ensure that this man really died, one of the soldiers had to take a spear and he pierced the side of Jesus. Blood and water flowed out. It was clear that Jesus died from hypovolemia. For those who understand that, what that means, he lost a lot of blood. He lost water. Now, let me explain it to you. Next slide, please. Follow me. Think of yourselves. I'm just going to try and round up now. Think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status. While he was on that cross, he had the opportunity to call legions of angels. You remember when Peter sliced the ear of the servant when they came to arrest Jesus? What did he do? He placed it back. He healed the guy. He said, no, we're not using that here. He healed the guy. He could call legions of angels to save him. He had power. Remember the people that crucified him, that chanted his crucifixion, were the same people that he had healed. The same people he had raised their children back to life. He had multiplied food and fed them. They ate his food. They were the same people shouting, crucify him. He didn't cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. Do you know what the privileges of deity is? The powers that a god will have. The power to turn night into day. He had the power to do that. But the Bible says he set it aside. And what did he do? He took on the status of a slave. You might not understand what I'm talking about. Tell a billionaire to go back to being poor and give you his money. Tell someone that's occupying a big position, tell the person to drop the position and come and slave for you. I wouldn't do this for myself. I won't. I wouldn't do it for someone else. He became human. So he didn't, when the nails were driving through his wrist, he didn't feel it as a god. He felt it as human. He became human. having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. So the next time you use the word excruciating, check again. Is it in the same league? Because that's where the word comes from. I don't joke with words. X, out of, crux, the cross. That's where the word comes from. So when that pain is coming and you're like, I feel like excruciating, is it the same pain? That was what he went through. That's what he did for you. And that's the salvation some of us joke with. We don't take it seriously. He died already. He died. Next time you say he died, think about this. Prophecy fulfilled. I'm going to skip that. I don't have time for that. Let me go to the next one. God's plan revealed, please. Thank you. Oh, you're in the spirit. I'm going to read this. Still, this was what touched me the most. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he would see life come from it. Life. Life. And more life. So listen, when the devil thought he was killing him, when the grave thought it was holding him, it was giving life. So he had life. He gave life to the people in the United Kingdom. He went to Africa, got to Nigeria, located me, gave me life. He went to Zimbabwe, gave them life. So the devil thought he was ending one person, but instead, it was multiplying. It was multiplying life for everyone. It was multiplying life. That's why you have the eternal life you have today. He didn't die like that. You know, he didn't even die. They didn't kill him. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. You can't kill him. Next slide. Next slide. Provisions of the cross. What did we get? Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. He broke the power of sin and Satan. See, I'm just going to say this quickly. I'm going to round up now. If the devil is lying to you and telling you that sin, you can't get over it, that you can't get over that addiction, what he's doing is trying to keep you in a loop. He will keep you in that loop. Why is it that he's been catching you with the same thing for 10 years? You think he doesn't know what he's doing? He's being smart. He doesn't have anything to do just to manipulate. That's why he's keeping you there. You need to receive the salvation that Jesus has made available. The devil just wants to keep you in that loop. There's nothing else. And before you know, it's too late for you to repent. He established the new covenant, completed the cycle of judgment, and restored man to the original position. You know where I started from? We've been restored. We've been restored. Jesus made it available. I thought you were going to shout hallelujah. We have been restored. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer under the power of sin and the devil. If anything is happening to your health, to your finances, to your children, what you need to do is to fight from a position of victory. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory because victory has been given by Jesus. So what should you do about it? Accept the provisions. Take it. It's free. Take it. Don't wait anymore. Take it today. Today. Don't go home without taking it. Take it today. Next, you have the responsibility of spreading the news. Please start from your home. Don't just tell your children about God. Show them God. Show them what I'm doing today. I mean, I've shared it with Chris severally. I was showed. I wasn't just told. My wife is there. She's a witness. We were showed. Show them God. It's not, you can't just wish it. You have to show it. Next. I mean, I'm starting to show my children. Pray with me. Ask him where he wants you to be sacrificial and let this knowledge bring you to a place of intimacy. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. He loves you. He's already done it. You just need to walk in it. Can we bow our heads and pray this morning? If you have anything in your mind that you want to pray about, anything you heard, anything that challenged you, you might just go ahead and pray about it. I'm not going to pray for you. No, I won't. If you've heard anything that you think you want to pray about, how are you going to show your children? Are you going to spread the news? Are you going to accept it? You can just bow your head and pray. He can hear you where you are. I don't have to lead this prayer. You can pray by yourself. That's how it starts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.